wish we had a meet and greet time because I needed to get a music stand. So I'm going to borrow this one. All right, so we're continuing our sermon series in the book of Malachi, and I wanted to continue to encourage you to read the book of Malachi during the week. I feel like God has something to speak to us collectively as a church in this sermon series, but I think and I sense that God has some things to speak to us personally, and so I think it'd be helpful to be reading Malachi during the week as we go along. So last Sunday, I started off the sermon series in chapter 1, verse 6 to 11, and I did that purposely. That's what I felt like that the Lord was leading us to, and I skipped purposely verses 1 through 5, and then I went home on Sunday afternoon and last week, and then I felt like that the Lord said to preach the first section. So it might seem out of order, but this is how I feel like that the Lord is leading. So today we're in Malachi chapter 1. Verse 2 through 5. And I think it would be helpful for you to open there in your Bibles as we go on. So the title of today's sermon is More Love, More Power, Malachi chapter 1, 2 through 5. So let me start us off with a little question. Would you agree that people in our world today, we really want more power, right? It's just like power everything, right? Power tools, power plays, power naps. We even have to have our power in our food, right? Power bars, power aid. I was over at Nature's Juice, the smoothie place over just around the corner in the Village Shopping Center. And I bought a smoothie, and they asked me, would you like a power boost? And I said, of course, more power. We just want more power. And I think there's nothing wrong with that. Innate in us as humans, we want more power. We need more power. Even in our spiritual journeys, in our Christian lives, in our Christian ministries, power ministry, power evangelism, we long for more power. In today's passage, you're going to see that God gives us a path forward to a life of more power. So Malachi chapter 1, 2 through 5. All right, so let's read this out loud together. Pathway to more power, more love, more power. Maybe if you could help me get to the next one. See, we always settle this during the meet and greet time. Those 4 minutes is really helpful. I'm just kidding about that. But okay, let's see if we can get... All right, let's do it the old school way. Okay, there it is. Okay. I forgot my Bible, too, today, so it's just all sorts of stuff. All right. This is going to be a great sermon, guys. All right, Malachi 1, 2 through 5. Let's read it together. I have loved you, says the Lord, but you ask, how have you loved us? Was not Esau Jacob's brother, declares the Lord? Yet I have loved Jacob, but Esau I have hated. I have turned his hill country into a wasteland and left his inheritance to the jackals. Edom may say, though we have been crushed, we will rebuild the ruins. But this is what the Lord Almighty says. They may build, but I will demolish. They will be called the wicked land, a people always under the wrath of the Lord. You will see it with your own eyes and say, great is the Lord, even beyond the borders of Israel. So I'm going to start off in verse 3, and let's just read that underlined portion. But Esau, I have hated. So a little bit of background. Esau and Jacob, famous story in the Bible, brothers, twin brothers. And Esau had grievously sinned against God. He had frivolously sold his birthright, which was something that was really sacred, especially in Jewish culture. He'd sold it for some food. And so he treated something that God considered sacred with contempt. And as he sinned, there was a lot of consequences for him, as you can see in this short verse. And God uses a strong word here, hate. I mean, the strongest word. I looked it up in the Hebrew just to make sure. Is this maybe God meant something different? No, he meant hate. This was the word. There was severe consequences for Esau as he sinned. And God had this message for him, for them, also for us. And sad as it was that there were severe consequences of sin for Esau, the sadder part was that others began to suffer the impact of sin, of his sin. Verse 4 starts talking about Edom and not Esau. It started talking about a whole kingdom of people, all his descendants, millions of people. All those people were going to now suffer the consequence of sin. Sin spreads and contaminates. It's like a disease that just spreads through. You know, I was thinking it's like a sickness. It's like the flu. It's kind of interesting because I've been going through the flu this past week, and it's the worst part of it is when one person gets sick in your family, and we've experienced this a couple of times, right? One person gets sick to the next kid. To the next kid, we're trying to take care of them and get them better, and then we get sick, and then we're just all down and out. And this is, God put this in this passage to say, this is what happened with Esau and then Edom. Sin just started spreading through, contaminating everybody. A whole kingdom started suffering. God had this message of, hey, just remember what happened with Esau, what happened with Edom, with that other group. God was speaking to the Israelites, his chosen people. And watch how bad this spreading disease of sin got. Or the second portion of verse 4. Let's read this out loud together. They may build, but I will demolish. They will be called the wicked land. I mean, serious consequences for sin for them. God hates sin to the nth degree. And God needed to point this out. This was written to, this prophetic word in Malachi is written to the Israelites in the beginning. And God's saying, hey, look what happened to Esau and Edom. I really need you to know that I hate sin, that there's these severe consequences. And he was letting them know because, as I mentioned last week, it was 40 years since the revival. The people were getting into spiritual laxness and complacency. Half-hearted worship, frivolous worship. It was spreading out through the whole nation, the nation of Israel. And God was reminding them, remember Esau. Remember Edom, that whole kingdom. Beware. And God, of course, includes it in the scripture because if we just look at our world right now, I pointed out last week, such a parallel. 40 years since the Jesus movement. Spiritual lackness and complacency, half-hearted worship, frivolous worship, sin spreading around, horrible things happening. I mean, last night me and Evangeline were talking about the mass shooting. We said we need to pray this morning for that situation in Virginia Beach. And we're saying, you know, we need to pray, but are we just getting really used to it. So every time there's a mass shooting, we'll come up here and we'll pray. And we were talking, is there anything else that we can do? So I'm just sharing this piece, and I'll share a little bit more later because there's an answer in this passage. But I'm just sharing about the spreading effect, the contamination of sin. It's just going all the way throughout. God's reminding the people of Israel, God's chosen people, remember Esau, remember Edom. Beware, there's a similar thing that's happening right now. So God begins to tell them the way out of sin. Let's go back to the beginning of the passage, verse 2. Just let's read this underlined portion out loud together. I have loved you, says the Lord. This is the very beginning of the prophetic book of Malachi. The very first thing, the paramount thing, the foundational thing that God was trying to communicate to them. Remember that I have loved you from the beginning. You are my chosen people. I loved you and I love you. was God's message to the Israelites after 40 years of, after it's been 40 years since revival, since spreading out, and God's first thing he wants to tell them, I want to make sure that you know that I love you. As soon as I started meditating on this passage last Sunday, this clip, this video clip, this short video clip kept coming to my mind. And I feel like I need to share it with you because this short video clip, about 2.5 minutes, just really captures exactly what Malachi was trying to get across, what God was trying to get across to the Israelites, what God's trying to get across to us. We participated in 2 relationship seminars this past year. Right? Some of you remember in March we had the Art of Communicating seminar, and then in September, some of us, we went to the EV Free Church in Fullerton. They had a relationship seminar there. Both of them used this video clip to talk about love, specifically about returning to love. So you're going to see in this short video clip, there was a research experiment that was done. For 30 to 40 years, they were working on this research experiment about love. It took them 30 to 40 years to discover this. It's actually right here in this short passage, 2-5. So take a look at this research experiment, about the findings of this research experiment. Then I'm going to connect it in because it's exactly what this passage is talking about. So let's play this video, about 2.5 minutes.
Baby is about a year of age.
I'm like a girl. Oh.
And she gives a greeting to the baby. The baby gives a greeting back to her.
Yeah.
This baby starts pointing at different places in the world, and the mother's trying to engage her and play with her. They're working to coordinate their emotions and their intentions, what they want to do in the world. And that's really what the baby is used to. And then we ask the mother to not respond to the baby. The baby very quickly picks up on this. And then she uses all of her abilities to try and get the mother back. She smiles at the mother. She points because she's used to the mother looking where she points.
Yeah.
The baby puts both hands up in front of her and says, "What's happening here?" She makes that screechy sound at the mother, like, "Come on. Why aren't we doing this?" Even in this 2 minutes, when they don't get the normal reaction, they react with negative emotions, they turn away, they feel the stress of it, they actually may lose control of their posture because of the stress that they're experiencing.
Okay. I'm here. And what are you doing? Oh, yes. Oh, what a big girl.
It's a little like the good, the bad, and the ugly. The good is that normal stuff that goes on, that we all do with our kids. The bad is when something bad happens, but the infant can overcome it. After all, when you stop the still face, the mother and the baby start to play again. The ugly is when you don't give the child any chance to get back to the good. There's no reparation, and they're stuck in that really ugly situation. Their baby who's...
In the beginning, Israel had this love relationship with God. It was good, in the words of this video. And then, as Malachi is addressing to them, 40 years since the revival, sin was blocking this loving relationship. And the enemy, what the enemy wanted to do was bring it from bad to ugly to no return to the love of God. And Malachi is pointing out to Israel, and God is reminding us the way out from the ugliness is returning to God's love. I want to point out here that it's not that just God just accepts our sin and just loves our sin. Romans 2 verse 4 says this. Let's read this together. God's kindness is intended to lead you to repentance. But the key for the Israelites was that they needed to return to God's love and not let this enemy bring it from bad to ugly. And watch what happens as God says, as you return to my love. Watch what happens to you, to Israel, but also to us. Verse 5, as we return to God's love. Let's read verse 5 together. You will see it with your own eyes and say, great is the Lord, even beyond the borders of Israel. God was calling them to not let it go from bad to ugly. Return to God's love. And as they return to God's love, that's where they would find power. It was going to be power that was going to go even beyond the borders of Israel. It was going to be power towards revival. It was going to be power to restore them from their sin. It was going to be power to restore them to fervent worship. It was going to be power to bring impact to their community and beyond their community. It's saying even beyond the borders of Israel. It's true of Jesus. When Jesus was on this earth, this is what happened with him. At the baptism, this is what it says about the baptism. So let's read Mark 1, 10 through 11. This is a baptism of Jesus. Let's read this together. Just as Jesus was coming up out of the water, he saw heaven being torn open and the Spirit descending on him like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my son, whom I love. With you I am well pleased." I remember when Ed Piorek was here at our Catalyst School of Ministry, he talked about the love dove. When the Holy Spirit came down, it was God's love on Jesus. And as God's love came down on Jesus, Acts 10:38 is Peter making a commentary about Jesus' baptism. So let's read this. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and power, and how he went around doing good and healing all who were under the power of the devil, because God was with him. Jesus received the love dove, the Holy Spirit coming in his love, and in that love was power to overcome even the devil. It wasn't just Jesus. The early church also experienced this progression of love. In God's love was God's power. The day of Pentecost, let's read Acts 1:8, famous scripture referring to the day of Pentecost. Let's read it together. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. We often emphasize power when the Holy Spirit comes. We emphasize power in the day of Pentecost, but Romans 5:5, here's Paul's commentary on the day of Pentecost. Let's read this together. God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. Returning to God's love was the answer for the Israelites. To rescue them out of this sin that was contaminating and spreading through the whole nation. In that was power. It was for Jesus the same progression. It was for the early church the same progression. It is for us the same progression. That would seek after God's love. That we would today long to be in God's love. Because as we get into God's love, that's where his power is at. You know, in a group this size, there's all sorts of ugly situations happening. Right? There's all sorts of things that are going on in our lives. There are all sorts of things that are going on in our world and in this generation, right? 40 years out from revival. Mass shootings, terrorism, racism, poverty, loneliness, anxiety, depression. The list goes on and on. Maybe we once had this loving, abiding relationship with God. And then the enemy wants to bring it to bad, blocking it with whatever the case may be, with all sorts of ugly things that are going on in our lives, in our generation, in our world. And the enemy wants to bring it from bad to ugly and not let us bring it back to God's love. Malachi said the answer to the Israelites was to return to God's love. That's where they were going to find the power to restore them out of sin, restore their worship, restore their nation, lead them towards revival. And God has this word for us this morning. As part of this message, I felt that we just needed to give some space this morning. And there's a practice of prayer called centering prayer. And I want to lead us in, it's, you know, without going all into details of what centering prayer is, but it's just a one sentence prayer. And we're going to pray it three times. And we're just going to wait. And let God actually find us with his love. And return to his love and get out of the bad or even the ugly. And bring us back to God's heart and to his love. So when Ed Pjork was here at Catalyst School of Ministry, this was one of the prayers he led us in. And it's just a simple one sentence prayer. Holy Spirit, find me with your love. Here and now. So we're just going to give some space and pray that. I'll pray it. I'll say it one time, then you repeat it. We'll do it three times. And then we'll just give 1 minute. And let God's love actually find us here and now. All right, so let's stand together. Worship team, if you can come back up at this time. And we'll sing one song to close as well after. I think it'd be helpful to close your eyes. So I'm going to say these words, and you just repeat it. We're going to do it three times. And after the third time, we're going to wait 1 minute. For some of you, 1 minute's going to seem like a long time. But we're going to actually believe that God's love is going to find us. So let's pray this together. Holy Spirit, find me with your love, here and now. Second time. Holy Spirit, find me with your love, here and now. Last time. Holy Spirit, find me with your love, here and now. Let's give God some space. Let him do it. Let him do it right now. Find you with his love.